Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. I pray that you would speak and you would move through my mom, Lord, that everybody would have their ears open, Lord, their hearts open to what she has to say. Lord, I thank you for the diligence and time that she spent preparing and listening and sitting, Lord. And we're excited to hear what you have to say, Lord. And I thank you for all the just dedication she's taking to listening for you, because it's not her who's speaking, it is you, Lord, and we pray that it would just come out, some of you, Lord, and that any nerves could be gone, and Lord, that you would just anoint every word that comes out, and we thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Ooh, that's good.
Hi. Just want to look around. It's heavy on this one, right? Okay. But name of my message this morning, actually it's more than a message, it's a testimony, it's a message, there might be some teaching, preaching, a lot of the word of God that you have heard over and over again in this church, and I just want to encourage us all to hear it for the first time again. The word of God is alive and active and moving, and don't ever get the attitude that, oh, I've heard this before, because we need to hear it, and it needs to become alive. So just I'm warning you, there's a lot of scriptures you've heard. So the name of my message is, what season are you in, and where is God in those seasons? And I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8. And I'm going to answer that question for you. We all know where God is in any season of our lives. In fact, I'm going to use the word season and times interchangeable. And we all know that God is always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, so we know where he is. But I found a scripture that I think is really cool to help us to see a little bit better. In fact, we've been talking a lot here about this year, that there would be an increase of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And so I want you to see that in my message today. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8. To everything there is a season, an appointed time. Seasons are appointed times. We just spoke about that in the Lifeline. So to everything, there is an appointed time, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. I thought, a time to break down? Who wants to break down? You know, but in our lives, there's a lot of times of brokenness, and I really believe in God, when we allow God in our brokenness to come, it is really precedes a time of anointing. So, and also, when you think of breaking down and building up, there's a time sometimes that we have to unlearn some things that we've learned before that may need tweaking. Maybe they weren't wrong, but they need tweaking, and we need to see better, and we need to learn something new. So that time to break down and a time to build up, it's not a scary thing. These are all positive things. I remember when my kids were growing up, I'd had a football toy chest. And every year at Christmas time, what I would do is I'd go through that toy chest. And, I mean, they were great toys. But by Christmas time, you know, we were going to get new toys, so I wanted to empty out some things and bring some new things in. And, you know, I would look in that toy chest, and there was, like, pieces of things all over the place. So I would clean it out to make room for new. So God wants to clean out sometimes and make room for new revelation. The time to weep, the time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I love that one. Anybody here need to keep silence sometimes? You know, that takes a lot of self-control. But, and the time to speak, when we speak a word fitly spoken in due season, there's power in that. And as we grow and mature in the Lord, we really need to, as we've been talking about, step back, listen for God, and then speak what he, and also step back from speaking, you know, be slow to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So where is God during these times? I found a verse in Isaiah. I'm going to read from Old Testament and New Testament. The verse in Isaiah is Isaiah 33:6. I'm going to read it in three different versions because I like it that much. Okay, and from the Old Testament. Okay, where is God in these times? Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, okay, and your seasons, the stability. You know, wisdom and knowledge has a name. Wisdom and knowledge is Jesus Christ. And the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge that we seek and we want increased in this, in our lives, he will give it to us. And that will be the stability in our times or seasons. And the it says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And the fear of the Lord, you know, if we want his wisdom, his knowledge, we want to hear as he hears, we need to have the fear of the Lord. And it's the reverential respect and awe of God. We have to be listening. We have to position ourselves. The NIV says, he will be the sure foundation. Where is God in our seasons? He's our foundation. Stability, again, for your times or seasons. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. In any season you're in, he has the wisdom, the knowledge. And I think of store of salvation. You have to go to the store and buy it, right? The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And then the Amplified says, and there shall be stability in your times, again, your seasons, an abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge, there it is again, the reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his. And I chose to read out of the Amplified because I saw another key here. Not only is it our reverential respect and awe of the Lord, it's our worship, okay? When we worship, we see him, we hear him. So God is the stabilizing force for believers during all times. That's where he is. He's the stabilizing force. In the New Testament, again, we've heard this many times, Ephesians 1:17-18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I want to say something about the spirit of wisdom. I can't help it. I'm a teacher, so I have a little note. I try not to put it all in there, but I don't do that all the time. The spirit of wisdom is, that concerns practical, workable principles. So we're not talking about something up here. I mean, it is up here, and we want to bring it down here, but he wants to give us practical, workable principles in whatever season we're in, whatever we're seeking him in. And revelation there is a clear perception and applicable understanding. Again, we want to understand, God, what is going on here? Not what we see. We want to have spiritual eyes, which we're going to talk about. So the Holy Spirit is the divine and supernatural source of both, the revelation and wisdom. And then 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the word hope, I saw the word glory in that. And the eyes of our understanding being enlightened literally means that your heart may receive the brightness of hope, resulting when the wealth of God's investment in you is understood. Okay, so that understanding is coming up. So my message today is a testimony. In the month of May, I spent a lot of time at Danielle's apartment. I went up there three times, and I'm going to use those three times as different seasons, okay, because there were three times that I went up there and three different things were happening. I'm going to try to make a parallel to contrast. And while I was there, the first week especially, I did a lot of writing. So I want to read a little, I'm writing a new book, most of you know that. And so it was a real time of inspiration that first season. And so I wrote a lot of, I wrote a lot. The Lord was speaking to me a lot, and I had a lot of great times with him. So I just want to read a little part of that. And I want you to listen to, for seasons and sight, and being able to see, okay, and in the monotony of our everyday lives, we need to see God. Okay. Close to my daughter's home in Pennsylvania was a beautiful park where I would walk the 2-mile paved path around a beautiful lake. I love those quiet times of meditation and intentional listening to God to speak to my inner man. Creation is always speaking, revealing God's glory. We just need to stop, pay attention, and listen. The path was monotonous at times, walking and pounding the black pavement. But as I looked to the left, I saw the sparkling lake with the sun causing a magical reflection. My heart cried out to God that I too would sparkle and shine from reflecting the image of his son. Further down the path, I saw beautiful colors of purple, flowering bushes in the midst of the constant green. One could easily miss the beautiful surprises that poked out along the sameness of the path. All along the path were benches placed strategically that invited you to stop and rest a bit. Oh, how we need those benches in our lives. The benches overlooked the still glistening lake. Be still, my soul. Finally, there were the sounds, beautiful singing from the birds in the air that reminded me not to worry. Provision is available for all our needs. Matthew 6:26-27. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? It had been a long winter, but spring had finally come. I imagine that the same two-mile path would have felt and looked different in the winter. I may not have enjoyed it as much, because I really don't do cold well. However, there would have still been surprises along the winter path as well, if our eyes were able to see them. So what season are you experiencing in your life? Are you walking the path in winter or spring? No matter what the season, don't miss the messages as you open your eyes along the path we call life. There is beauty all around, even when it is hidden, only to be found to those who have eyes to see. Enjoy your walk, and remember to sit on the benches and rest a while. So, when I came home from my times at Danielle's house, we had a lifeline, and Pastor Roy had, I guess he realized that God had touched me while I was there, and so, as he likes to do, he capitalized on the moment and said, how about, you give, speak and from your experiences. So that's where this message came from. So the first week, I want to tell you about the first week. Okay. The first week I went up to watch my grandbabies because my daughter Danielle and her husband Adam were going on vacation, and they were cruising to Bermuda. And it was a time for them, it was a season for them to get to know each other better in a relaxed atmosphere, free of pressure, to build a foundation in their relationship, and just have a good time. And I call it like a time of resting and refreshing in pleasant surroundings. And for me, I went up there and I was going to watch my grandsons, and my grandsons, they go to school, and that is a foreign concept to me because you all know that for 22 years I was home with my kids 24/7 homeschooling them. So this was like a vacation to me. I went to their house and my husband came with me, so he would get up and make them lunches in the morning, and so I even stayed in bed and got them up on the bus, and then I would just take my time getting up. I was away from my own responsibilities at home, no pressures, and just, So I had the whole day to myself, and there was a beautiful park nearby my daughter's house, and I would go there and walk and just fellowship with the Lord in the cool of the day. It was a time of relaxing for me. It was a time for me to build the foundation in my life with the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is that when times are good and easy, we need to fellowship with the Lord. He calls us to fellowship with Him, to hear Him, and when things are easy. Because a lot of times people are like, they go to God only in a crisis. And then it's like, God is good with that. But you really want to get to know Him and hear Him. And so I got a lot of writing done. It was a time of resting for me. I went to the circus that week. We were doing the same thing they were doing. I was doing the same thing with God that they were doing on the vacation in relaxed atmosphere. So let's read some scriptures. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest is a refreshing from toil. He calls us to come in the good times. Revelation 3:20-4:1. God calls us, He's calling us to fellowship. Listen for it here. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. You hear that intentional fellowship. He says there's a door and he's telling us to come. And then we need to go. And then his voice speaks to us. And Revelation 4:1, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the voice, first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Okay, he wants us to come up here. Again, we're looking, and this is John the Revelator, but we need to do it too. We need to look, we need to behold, we need to see the doors open. He wants us to come in, and then we need to hear in the trumpet, and then he speaks to us, okay? There's an interaction that takes place. It's a back and forth. And the notes from Jack Hayford's Bible is, a door standing open in heaven is the door of prophetic vision and revelation. So when we come to him, he wants to reveal things to us. He wants to give us visions. He wants to fellowship with us. And the first voice was that of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord summoned John to come in order that he might receive a heavenly perspective of things which must take place on the earth. Okay, when we come to him, we need his heavenly perspective in whatever season we're in, and he will show us what's really going on. Sometimes what is right before us is all we see, and that's not moving in the supernatural. He wants to open up the heavens and show us what's going on, so that we can agree with him and bring heaven down to earth, because that's what we're called to do, as Dave read this morning. So too, Jesus summons us to walk with him daily to receive prophetic revelation and heavenly perspective in every season. Okay, so that was our first season. So I came home, refreshed. It was a great time. And then I got a phone call that Daniel was in the hospital, and that she had been throwing up all night. She had really high fever, and they didn't know what was going on. So I was like, okay, and I'm thinking, and her husband was with her, and I'm thinking, you know, the boys, you know, and my grandson, Zachary, was going for oral surgery that same day, and of course, Mom wanted to be with him, but she wasn't going to be able to be with him, and Zachary's dad was able to take him. So, you know, I thought, okay, do I need to go up there? And I just want to say a little bit something about that, because so often when emergencies were, we think there's emergencies that are happening in our lives. Pastor Guy Rose used to say there's no emergencies in the kingdom. You know, again, we've been talking about stepping back. We need to step back for a moment and not rush to the emergency, because we need to listen and assess and hear what's going on, and we do that in different ways. Sometimes in a crisis you don't think you can do it, but I think you can find a way. But I talked to my husband first, of course, and I asked him what he thought of me going up there. And he was behind me going up there if I needed to. I was down at Cindy's and telling her what was going on, and we prayed together, and I had a sensing, and I talked to Pastor Marie. So, you know, I was ready, and I said, and I felt the release to go. But I said to my daughter, you know, and her husband, you know, give me a call, and, you know, I'm making myself available to you. Let me know, because we didn't know what was going on yet. We didn't know if it was just something, you know, she was going to be home that night or whatever. So that started a different season. You know, we have seasons of trial and hardship in our lives. And where Adam and Danielle were the first season enjoying each other with this foundation, getting to know each other in a relaxed atmosphere, here they were in a different season. But you know, I have found in hard times, even in my own life, with my relationship with the Lord, I get to know him at a much deeper, intimate level. And that's what I saw going on. It was beautiful to see. I did wind up going up there. I got up there really late. I went to the hospital, and Adam had been with her all day, and then he was going to go home for a while. And so it was like 12 a.m. in the morning, so I sat there with her. I talked to her for a little while. She was in a lot of pain. She finally was able to rest. And so I just sat there in the quiet. I was praying. The nurses were coming in. And it was like, okay, what am I doing? You know, I was thinking my grandsons wound up sleeping at their dad's home, so they weren't going to be here until the morning. But I knew that if I didn't get home, I was, you know, going to be useless to them. So I stayed for a few hours, but I was just, you know, meditating. I had a peace. I was praying. But we didn't know what was going on. So So what I saw in their relationship, and I'm trying to make a parallel in the natural and the supernatural, and you know it's all the same anyway. There was a deeper intimacy that was taking place. Because, you know, when life becomes fragile, the fragility of life, you know, you tend to, everything stops. You tend to, they were, you know, clinging to one another. There was a surgeon that had come in, and they had thought it was appendicitis. So they were going to do exploratory surgery, but they were waiting to see if the medicine would help her. And but they were waiting on the exploratory surgery because she was pregnant. And so, you know, it could hurt the baby. So the surgeon comes in and starts to tell them how, you know, there's a good chance you're going to lose this baby and you need to be prepared. It's, you know, it's dangerous and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, they just wept. They just wept. And, you know, so that clinging to one another and the relationship got deeper and more. And I was able to witness a lot of it. It was, you know, it was really beautiful. In fact, do you have that picture, John? Oh, I don't think it's not clear. But, you know, there was a time of more intimacy. And Zachary had come and he was sleeping in bed with his mom. And it was just, you know, during the time of hardship, a clinging together. And what was I saying about the exploratory surgery? So then the OB came in and the mother surgeon came in and they were really angry with that doctor because they said, no, you know, we're going to keep it safe. And meanwhile, she was having all these medications and morphine and they did the exploratory surgery and they found that it wasn't the appendix and then they found out it was a very rare strep infection and her blood had gone septic. And after the fact, thank God she, you know, came through, but after the fact, you know, we were told they were very worried about her life being in danger because it was you know, that severe. So during that time, I had a peace, and where was my relationship with the Lord? But during times of trial, when things hit us hard, we need to press in and seek the Lord in a whole different way. So I was at home. Let me see where I am. Let me read some scriptures before I tell you about what was happening in my life. Okay, James 1, 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, endurance, and perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. And I, you know, when we go through trials, it becomes an opportunity to appraise the situations from God's perspective. So we need to see. Enduring through trials and seeing God in the midst provides moral and spiritual growth and transformation and Christ-likeness in us. Okay? So in 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, might be found at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Found at the revelation when God reveals, when he gives you sight to see and help you in those circumstances. And when we do see Jesus, what do we always say? When we see him, we'll be like him in his character. In his character. Not we will be like, you know, Pastor Roy said it last week, we'll be like him in character. In 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Okay. So all the deposits from the week before, all the foundation that was laid, all of the times where you're meeting with the Lord in the cool of the day, now that becomes your foundation in the times of hardship. And so all those deposits strengthen you. I remember a time 10 years ago, I think it was, we went to Toronto, and some of you have heard the story before, but we were at a leadership conference, and it was such a time of building up, and we were just being filled and filled, and I remember I was sleeping, too. I was laying down, like, in the congregation. I kind of had a liberty there. I would never do this, but I was laying down on the chairs and falling asleep, and we were soaking. It was ridiculous, but I just really sensed that God was doing something, just filling me and filling me. And when we came home from that conference, and we were driving home, we got a call from Dawn, who was at the house opening the door for us for some reason, and the ceiling literally fell in. We had a burst pipe, wrecked the whole half of the house. We had to turn around and go to the hotels, and I mean, it was the start. You talk about there's a time to break down and a time to build up. It was the start of a whole year of trials, but yet God had prepared us for it. Even though it was not fun, it was not happy, but he had prepared us for it because he had already made that deposit and strengthened us during that leadership conference. So we need to meet with him in the cooler days so that when we come to these other seasons that aren't so much fun, that we already have what we need to walk through them. Okay, so I was at Danielle's house this one night, and I was, like I said, I had a lot of peace, but then this one night I was really starting to fear. It was like we didn't really know what was going on, and I was concerned actually for the baby because she was given so much medication, and I kept on thinking, well, all this medication that she was getting, you know, how's it going to affect the baby? And of course, the OB was in there the whole time, and they were trying to do, but she was really sick, and, you know, you worry. So, you know, I was fretting about it, and I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, you really have to help me here. You have to show me what's going on. And one of the things I heard about the medication is, like, medication is supposed to heal you. Medicine is supposed to heal. So I felt like the Lord said, the medicine, as it's healing your daughter, is going to heal the baby too. So that made me happy. And then another thing happened. Prior to that, I had been saying to the Lord, you know, Lord, I want to see things. Dave and Dawn see things. Pastor Marie sees things. I want to see things in the spirit. I want visions. I want, you know. And so I believe I got my first open vision. And what I saw was a adolescent boy. Had all this sports paraphernalia, hat on backwards, tall and thin, looked like his dad. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, it's going to be a boy, and he's going to be healthy, because if he was an adolescent boy playing sports, he has to be healthy. So that really, that comforted me as well. And I'll show you a picture I was reading to my granddaughter a couple of weeks later, and I don't know if you could see that. But the Lord reminded me of the vision, because it was very much like what I saw, except there was more paraphernalia like hockey sticks and all that. But you see the hat on backwards and the just a little boy. Meanwhile, we didn't know what it was, just what the baby was just yet. And a third thing that happened is, and I was able to sleep that night. God gave me a peace, I was able to sleep. And the third thing that happened is in the morning I woke up with a song on my heart, and it was Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Stir the waters, Holy Spirit, stir the waters. And so that day we were going back to the hospital because Danielle is one of those people that like her kids at the hospital, which is like, well, I was really sick. I don't know that I would want them all, but she did, you know, the kids were being good. And so before we went, I went to the park again, and I just kept singing over and over again. And I knew that God was healing. I knew that God was not only healing her physically, but much more than that, because healing doesn't just come physical, it comes emotional, spiritual, in all ways. And, you know, we had people praying, and I just recently read our Facebook inboxes back and forth, and reminded me of everything that was going on. So it was a very intense time. So during those times, you need people to stand with you, to pray with you. You need God to talk to you in a special way. You need to have those revelations and visions. Okay. I think that's it. Okay, so Psalm 18:6 says, he met me, and this is how he met me in my distress. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even in his ears. So I thank God for that. Okay, and so the third time, now we come home, and now we're resting from all of that. And we already had a scheduled time to go up because Danielle was going to have a gender reveal party. So when I was thinking about this third season, and that was just a day, and it was supposed to be a time of celebration, but I was thinking of the word reveal. And what was this season for? And I thought, in lieu of what happened, it was a time to love, and it was a time to reveal Christ. And hopefully I can explain what I mean by that. First of all, it was a boy, so my vision was confirmed, so that was a... That was another confirmation to me that Lord had been speaking to me and comforting me during that time. But the gender reveal party, or I want to just say, when we take the time to get to know him in times of refreshing, and then know him deeper still in times of trial, becoming more like him, times of giving what we know and who we know present themselves naturally. And to know him and to make him known, and to be living epistles read by men. And I think that was what this third season was. It was a gender reveal party, and let me just tell you quickly how that went. Dawn and Dave and the kids were able to come, and Jonathan was able to come, and my son-in-law's mother was there, and some friends from their work, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about their friends from work. Be very careful, because it's on tape. Very nice people. I've met them before. Not churched people. Not necessarily living biblical. And that's not judgment. That's just truth. But, you know, they were there, and... something about Adam and Danielle. They met at Olive Garden. You know, when you work in a restaurant, it becomes like a community and becomes like your family. A very crazy family, some of you have worked in restaurant business, right, David and Karen? And but something that I'm grateful for, Danielle and Adam's life, their relationship is marked by peace. There is peace on their relationship. They have compassion in their hearts that God gave them. They have natural gifting. With all that Danielle's gone through and the things that she has, you know, she didn't just gloss over them. She's dealt with a lot of them, and so she's, you know, healed to some degree and being healed and continuing to be healed. And her husband has a degree in psychology. He's doing his master's in counseling, working with brain trauma, injury, cognitive thinking skills, whatever. So, but they work at Olive Garden on the weekend. So God had given me eyes to see, because I had met these people along the way, and what I want to say is that how God changed my heart, because at first I was like shocked because of what I saw. But going over to this gender reveal part, well, one of the things that the Lord showed me, and I spoke it over Danielle, it just came out of my mouth. And again, we have to speak things, speak life, and speak what we see, even if it's not actually happening yet. And I said, you and Adam are the pastors of this congregation. You know, this is a congregation. So she's like, yeah, whatever. So anyway, but they really are drawn to them, and they move in hospitality, and they just love being with them. So I do see it. So anyway, but what happened is I was able to see the beauty in these people, and I was able to see the potential. And I had a genuine love. There was no judgment. So I know that the Holy Spirit was moving and loving on them through me, and that they felt it. Whatever their lives are like is not my business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. Our business is to love like Christ loved. And whatever that looks like, you have to have a hearing ear. But I was just... I was just clearly surprised to see how I felt, and it was genuine. It was not something that I had to muster up, and I really believe it was because, again, we spend the time with the Lord, we get to see him, and then we get to be like him. And I want to just read the scriptures in closing here. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3, you are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. We are known and read by men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. And that's the proof of our changed lives, that our hearts are changed from stone to flesh, hearts of flesh. The truth in action is that we must be determined to grow spiritually. Such growth is painful because one undergoes stretching and molding and refining by the Holy Spirit. And trust me, I have been stretched and molded over the years and the experiences that we've had. Spiritual people deal ruthlessly with any carnal thoughts in their own minds. So we want to be shaped by the Holy Spirit so that people can come to know Jesus through what they see, that you'd be living epistles read by men. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph." Victory comes from our trials. He leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And that diffusing is, it manifests. I think of at my home when you come, I have the oil diffuser and that, you know, I put either peppermint or lavender and it just permeates the air. And that's, we're called to be the fragrance of Christ and be manifest him and represent him to a world that's hurting. And they will respond to love. They will. And then the opportunities come. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. 1 John 3:4-6 is, this hit me, this amazing. So listen carefully, it's from the Message. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides, again, our abiding in him does not sin. That's us. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. And I just, when I say that, neither seen him or known him, when we see him and we know him, we don't sin and we can manifest him. So will you be the one who allows others to see him by your victorious spirit-led life? In 1 John 3:2, we hear it all the time. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed, the gender reveal again, what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the word reveal is to make known by supernatural or divine means, to display him. And last verse, 1 John 4:7, concerning love. Love has been perfected or matured among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So I want to, before you put up the last picture, I want to, can you put up the quote? Wait. Thanks, John. I was just going to say you do a great job. Anyway, the way God creates, this is a quote from Chris Valentin from Bethel Ministries. The way God creates history is by anointing people to see the future from his perspective and call it into existence. And I love his hashtags. Prophetic declarations, speak life over the future. What does that say? Be a hope carrier, and how heaven invades earth. And with that, I want to make a declaration, a prophetic declaration. I want to speak life. I want to create history by having eyes to see the future. So, John, can you put up a picture of my daughter and her husband? And I want to introduce you to Pastors Adam and Danielle, Church of Olive Garden. Come. All who are hurting, to the love of Jesus. Amen. 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 Would you believe with me?